This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Final exchange of follies. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Wednesday, December 18. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
As the House prepares to vote today on impeachment, President Trump has fired off a six-page letter to Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Here, what was in it?
The top power brokers in the Senate are wrangling over the procedures for a Senate trial following the likely impeachment vote.
The FBI has been taken to task again for its handling of the wiretapping of a former Trump campaign aide.
And at the office, choosing the right health insurance during open enrollment.
There's actually a lot of problems that people face when open enrollment season comes up. For example, a lot of people don't actually know what the terms mean. A lot of people might not know, for example, what a health plan premium is.
Coral Murphy at USA Today has tips for navigating open enrollment. On the eve of the impeachment vote, President Trump has once again attacked the inquiry and accused Democrats of trying to overturn his election. Mr. Trump, in a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi yesterday, called efforts to remove him from office an illegal, partisan attempted coup. The president authored six pages that included phrases like, "You are scarcely concealing your hatred of me." He weighed in more broadly during remarks from the Oval Office.
It's a hoax, it's a witch hunt, and it's just a continuation. It's been going on now for almost 3 years.
In brief remarks to reporters, Mrs. Pelosi called the letter, quote, "really sick." Meanwhile, the House Rules Committee yesterday approved procedures for how the full House today will consider the two articles of impeachment. Separately, nearly all of the 31 Democrats who represent districts that Mr. Trump won in 2016 have said they would support impeachment, giving Democrats enough support to pass the articles without any Republican votes. That is expected to make Mr. Trump the third president to be impeached. The two top leaders in the Senate are wrestling over how an impeachment trial would be formatted. It started Sunday when Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer asked to subpoena new witnesses for the proceedings. On Tuesday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell rejected the call, saying Mr. Schumer wants new fact-finding because Democrats are beginning to realize how dramatically insufficient the process has been in the House.
I'm not an impartial juror. This is a political process. There's not anything judicial about it. Impeachment is a political decision. The House made a partisan political decision to impeach. I would anticipate we will have a largely partisan outcome in the Senate. I'm not impartial about this at all.
Mr. Schumer's response.
I am utterly amazed what Mitch McConnell said. Mitch McConnell said proudly, he is not an impartial juror.
Mr. Schumer wants to hear from acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney and former National Security Advisor John Bolton, among others. During the 1999 Senate trial of former President Bill Clinton, Mr. Schumer did not want to hear from witnesses. When Donald Trump launched his 2016 presidential bid, he did so almost as an independent, openly disdainful of the Republican Party establishment and enjoying little support within it. When the House votes on impeachment later today, Mr. Trump is likely to enjoy complete support from that same Republican Party. Jerry Seib, executive Washington editor at the Wall Street Journal, says that represents one of the most remarkable transformations in modern American politics. Jerry, explain.
Well, you've had a kind of a sorting out of the two parties and their followers around the country over the last, decade or more, I would say. You know, Republicans increasingly represent a part of the country that's outside the urban areas, that's in the heartland predominantly, that is more conservative, obviously, kind of more attached to traditional values, and that is a little bit more anchored in the old economy. And the Democrats represent a population that's more on the urban coasts, more liberal, obviously, tends to be higher educated, and has a desire to sort of change the cultural values. And so the two sides have been drifting apart, and there's less and less overlap between them. And I think you now see that process become almost complete in the impeachment debate, in which Democrats are almost unanimously lined up in favor of impeachment in Congress, and Republicans are almost unanimously lined up against impeachment in Congress, and that's kind of the way they feel about President Trump as well. And so this process of people in the country sort of not just joining parties but signing up to be part of a tribe almost is what you're seeing, and this is an extreme example of it.
Well, as you say, they're expected to pull on their jerseys, enter the fight arena, and fight for their side, no questions asked, even to the point of, I don't know, getting beat up or considered a traitor for any kind of dissent.
Well, it's almost that extreme in some cases. I think President Trump himself is the best example of that. I mean, he ran for president in 2016 almost as an independent. He had very little use for the Republican establishment, very little support within the Republican establishment, was almost disdainful of the party. And now, because he is the party's representative in the White House, the party has swung almost completely behind him. It's almost the party of Trump, which is an amazing transformation. And it just kind of shows you that people move to wherever the team moves. And now you're in a situation which 91% of Republicans in our last Wall Street Journal NBC News poll said they approve of the job the president is doing. Meanwhile, 6% of Democrats say they approve. That's a gigantic gap. It's an 85-point gap. It's far and away the largest we've ever found. And it basically just shows you that people, as you suggest, line up, put on the jersey and line up with their home team almost no matter what.
Well, we're speaking with Jerry Seib, executive Washington editor at The Wall Street Journal. His piece is called In Impeachment, Tribalization of Politics Becomes Almost Complete. You said, too, there may be some misgivings about impeachment on the Democratic side, but you're expected to swallow those, I guess, to great peril.
Here's the danger. And by the way, you see the same thing in reverse on the Republican side. There are plenty of Republicans who think the president's behavior was inappropriate on the question of Ukraine and pressuring Ukraine's president to do an investigation of Democrats and Joe Biden. There are plenty of Republicans who think that was improper, but they're not going to go so far as to support impeachment. Why? Well, you know, partly that's a decision of conscience for many people, of course. But there's also the reality that if you're a Republican and you oppose the president, you know that you're going to be challenged from within your own party, and that takes the form of a primary challenge from somebody who's a Trump supporter, and that's probably the easiest way to lose your job if you're in the House in particular. On the Democratic side, you have the situation in reverse. You may have misgivings about impeachment, and some of the moderate voters in your district probably don't want you to support impeachment, but you know that if you come down on the president's side and oppose impeachment, you're almost certainly going to be challenged in a primary within your own party from an anti-Trump candidate, and that's the danger, because congressional districts and even states now are pretty sorted out to the extent that the biggest danger isn't from the other party, but from somebody who challenges you from within.
I thought it was interesting, too. You said this extends beyond impeachment, too. There are other issues now that maybe there's less flexibility on, right?
Well, yeah. One of the ones that I think is people don't talk about much anymore, but it's really striking how it's evolved, is on the question of abortion. There are almost no pro-life, anti-abortion Democrats left, and almost no Republicans who support abortion rights in any sort of a vigorous way. And so you have a situation on a very sensitive issue where there used to be some division within the parties themselves, where there is almost none anymore.
Thanks, Jerry. Jerry Seib, executive Washington editor at The Wall Street Journal. 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, the FBI gets another scolding.
Goodbye 2019, goodbye Windows 7. Dell's holiday sales are the perfect time to say hello to 2020 and a Windows 10 upgrade. Save big on their latest business computers powered by Intel Core processors. Don't forget to shop servers, storage, and thousands of top-brand electronics, all with free shipping. Call a small business technology advisor to help you find the right tech for your business needs at 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL, or visit Dell.com/business deals.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business, but you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for being with us. A secret surveillance court has taken the rare step of rebuking the FBI for its handling of applications to wiretap Carter Page, a former Trump campaign advisor whose monitoring by the government has become the source of public controversy. The rebuke refers to the recent Justice Department watchdog report that criticized behavior of FBI personnel. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The presiding judge of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court said, quote, the frequency with which representations made by FBI personnel turned out to be unsupported or contradicted by information in their possession and with which they withheld information detrimental to their case calls into question whether information contained in other FBI applications is reliable. Judge Rosemary Collier also indicated that she planned to publicly release more secret material about the case in the coming weeks. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz found that the FBI had withheld exculpatory material about Mr. Page from the court and made misleading statements about his relationship with another government agency. It's 21 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, President Trump is on the cusp of being impeached by the House with a historic debate set today on charges he abused his power and obstructed Congress ahead of votes that will leave a defining mark on his tenure at the White House. Trump yesterday fired off a furious letter to Speaker Nancy Pelosi denouncing the vicious crusade against him.
I'm not watching. I've not seen it. Look, it's a hoax. The whole impeachment thing is a hoax.
Meanwhile, tens of thousands of people across the country last night marched in support of impeachment. From a demonstration through a rainy New York City Times Square to handfuls of activists standing vigil in small towns around the country, this woman marched in Seattle.
It's important for the American people to stand up and demand our accountability, demand democracy, the democracy that we are guaranteed in our Constitution.
Nearly all of the 31 Democrats who represent districts that Trump won in 2016 have said they would support impeachment. Number two, the Democratic-controlled House has voted to pass a $1.4 trillion government spending package, handing President Trump a victory on his U.S.-Mexico border fence while giving Democrats spending increases across a swath of domestic programs. The hard-fought legislation also funds a record Pentagon budget, helped for retired coal miners, and it calls for an increase from 18 to 21 in the nationwide legal age to buy tobacco products. Number three, among high schoolers, marijuana vaping is growing even faster than nicotine vaping. A new survey from the University of Michigan finds that about one out of five high school students has vaped marijuana in the past year. Vaping nicotine is still more popular. About one in four high schoolers say they had done it at least once in the previous year. Overall, marijuana use in all its forms is holding steady among teens. And 12 Baltimore Ravens, including second-year quarterback Lamar Jackson and seven New Orleans Saints, have made the Pro Bowl. Baltimore ties the record for a Pro Bowl player set by Miami in 1973. 30 teams had at least one player selected. 24 clubs had multiple players chosen. The Giants and Dolphins failed to get any Pro Bowlers. 25 of the players selected made it for the first time, including San Francisco defensive end Nick Bosa and Saints return specialist Deontay Harris.
You just jinxed the Ravens by tying them to the 1973 Miami Dolphins.
They're looking pretty good.
Who did not win a Super Bowl.
Looking good.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with us. Healthcare consumers getting ready to choose their plans for the upcoming year, but they're faced with the uncertainty of making a choice that will come back to bite them in the future. Things to consider from Coral Murphy, who covers money and tech for USA Today. Coral, help us out.
There's actually a lot of problems that people face when open enrollment season comes up. For example, a lot of people don't actually know what the terms mean. A lot of people might not know, for example, what health plan premium is, you know, or a health plan deductible. Simple terms like that. Simple terms when it comes to, you know, enrolling for your benefits, they don't know what it means. So when it comes to when this period arrives, it kind of gets a little, you know, turbulent.
Yeah. You bring up a good point about health care or health insurance literacy sometimes when it comes to these terms. But one of the other issues you brought up, as you wrote about, you said, you know, the time has come to whip out the crystal ball and ask, what are the chances I'll break an arm this year? So how are you supposed to, I don't know, calculate or figure out if you should be changing policies for the new year?
Yeah, so here's the thing. That's another really big problem. A lot of people actually don't take the time to look at their options, and a lot of people have to consider their own life situation. And sometimes they think, I have no idea if I could break an arm or not, and they start thinking, what if I do? I don't have insurance, or I didn't enroll for this certain specific type of benefit, or what if I don't? Then at the end of the year, I'm going to regret it. So that's kind of the problem. And I even spoke to someone who does scuba diving and open water swimming, and she said, I didn't enroll for benefits because, I mean, although I should have, I'm playing with fire, but she said, I consider that an out-of-pocket cost would be much cheaper if I actually enrolled in benefits. Mm. But now that I think about it, you know, what if she does? What if something happens to her while she's scuba diving?
Yeah.
So, yeah, talking to one of the experts, she told me that you really should enroll even if you think that nothing's going to happen to you. And even so, even if you're not going to, it's kind of important to really just take your time to look at the options available, because you have no idea if your situation changed or if the company itself changed the benefits. And you just say, oh, I'm going to enroll for X, Y, or Z like I did last year. But then when you really look at it, it's completely different.
Thanks, Coral. Coral Murphy, who covers money and tech for USA Today. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Did your last bottle of cologne come from the grocery store? Now you smell like your dad? Hi there, Gordon Deal. To solve your dad cologne problems, let me introduce you to Hawthorne. Trust me, this cologne smells amazing. Go to hawthorne.co and take their quick quiz and find out the two colognes that are best for you. One for work, maybe one for play. This quiz is really cool. It took me 2 minutes and was very specific. They were able to tailor products for me that were perfect for my needs. From colognes to body wash, shampoos, and more. Take the quiz now and get started. I only usually wear cologne when I receive it as a gift, but the Hawthorne cologne now has me thinking differently. Same for body wash. I typically grab whatever from the grocery store. But the exfoliating wash from Hawthorne is next level stuff. Check out Hawthorne at hawthorne.co. That's Hawthorne with an E. And use my promo code Gordon to get 10% off your first purchase. That's Hawthorne.co. And use my promo code Gordon to get 10% off your purchase. Hawthorne.co.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Hey, thanks for joining us and welcome into Wednesday, December 18. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The House is scheduled to vote on impeachment today. The FISA court rips the FBI over its surveillance applications. PG&E wins court approval for a $13.5 billion settlement with wildfire victims. Snapchat rolls out a new feature today that allows you to deepfake, posting your selfie onto a digitized body. A single ticket sold in Ohio was the big winner of a $372 million Mega Millions drawing last night. College football's early signing period begins today. And the Missouri dad and his catchy signs when he picks up his daughter at the airport. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. U.S. politics have never felt quite as contemptuous and unavoidable as they do today. Now, a new survey of 2,000 Americans finds that all of this vitriol-filled political discourse is taking a serious mental toll. An astounding 78% of respondents say politics are the number one source of anxiety and stress in their life. Why? And how can we better manage it? We're joined now by Dr. John Huber, clinical forensic psychologist. Doctor, what's happened here?
Well, I think what's happened is, you know, we switched over from a 24-hour news cycle to pretty much a 15-minute news cycle because of the way the old subscription-based news outlets are now run. You don't get subscriptions. They get paid through click-throughs. So they lead with very dramatic bullet point leads on their social media. People click on it. And the whole idea is that they know they get a response when they stimulate that emotional response of anger, and they get that click-through. That keeps their funding going, and they stay open. But I think it's really having a detrimental effect on the psyche of America.
If it bleeds, it leads, right? I mean, that's Still a thing. I mean, figuratively here, it may be the case, right? But the sensational or whatever seems to get people's attention.
Absolutely. And it's kind of scary in a lot of ways, because I don't think, you know, when I talk to people on the street, when I talk to my clients, when I talk to other physicians, they're not reading the story. So the story may not be changing at all. They're just reading the bullet points. And they're allowing that to get their dander up, and they get upset and angry. And, you know, we are in a body that reacts, fight or flight kind of mechanism. Yeah. And when we get emotionally upset, our forebrain actually has blood flow directed away from it to the limbic system. So we stop thinking clearly, and we start reacting emotionally. And my concern is, how is that affecting people, for example, when they're driving down the road on the highway? Are they no longer thinking thoughtfully about what's going on, and maybe reacting emotionally for everything?
Boy, I'm not necessarily following all your science of blood flow there, but I mean, could that also be the reason we get stress headaches?
Absolutely. You get tension headaches. That has to do with blood flow in a different part of your body. You know, when a bear crosses your pathway, your extremities get flooded with blood so that they have more energy to run away from that bear. But what happens is our other core features, like our digestion, that gets slowed down, because if you don't get away, it doesn't matter if your food's digested or not. And that's kind of what's happening inside your brain. But that also shifts that periphery blood flow, and that can give you the stress headaches, definitely. Yeah.
We're speaking with Dr. John Huber, clinical forensic psychologist, also chairman of a nonprofit called Mainstream Mental Health. We're talking about 8 in 10 Americans saying politics are the biggest source of stress in life. So compare that number over the years to, say, what is it, 51% say things at the office stress us out. Which are those numbers consistent, like over the decades, or is politics way worse than it used to be in terms of a stressor?
Politics is way worse than it used to be. You know, it used to be work and money, and then family issues used to be the top three. And then we run into health issues and things like that. Now it's politics, and it's clearly a 25-30 point increase over the next stressor, which was 51% of work stressors. And that's a pretty scary thing. Again, we don't know what the long-term effects of this are going to be. And I think what we're seeing now is a lot of people turning off from politics. They're just tired of it.
How can we be better managers of this type of stress if we recognize that it's starting to come on?
One of the first things you can do is just turn off the data stream on your cell phone, on your portable device. I recommend with my patients, they take a week off. There's some real simple apps you can get, the ones that you use to monitor your children with, and just put it on your phone and control it and shut down that so your phone is actually a phone for the week. And then I recommend one day a week taking a vacation from all that data. And that kind of keeps you centered. It doesn't do enough one day a week to make you feel like you've missed the whole world. That week that you're off can be kind of disturbing. The first 3 or 4 days tend to be really difficult. I tried this myself about a year ago. I took actually 8 weeks off, and it was pretty amazing.
Thanks, John. Dr. John Huber, clinical forensic psychologist, also chairman of a nonprofit called Mainstream Mental Health. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, thanks for joining us. Welcome into Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, the holidays are supposed to be about togetherness, but we all know that a lot of that time is spent together in a room while staring separately at screens. According to a new survey, however, the vast majority of us would like to ditch the devices for the holidays. The new survey found that a whopping 86% of parents have had their child complain that they spend too much time on their phone. In fact, more than half of the 2,000 respondents say they've missed out on an activity or bonding experience with their child because they were preoccupied with their handheld device. When we say we want help, though, with 80% of us saying we want a break from our screens over the holidays, could be tough, however. 43% of us say we spend more time on our phones on Christmas Day than any other typical day.
But how is that possible? And how would anybody even remember that in a survey?
I mean, I can see, though, because what happens is you sort of, you know, on Christmas Day, you wake up and everybody opens the presents together. And
yeah.
Then there's kind of a lull after that. There's a few hours after that where there's really not much going on. Christmas dinner is later.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's opening up. A lot of times you get devices for the holidays, for Christmas, right? You open up a new iPad or a new phone or whatever, and you're playing around with it. So I could see how that would be possible, but I can also see why it would be a good idea to perhaps change that since we don't get a lot of time to spend together. Right.
How about the part of the survey that found the child was complaining
yes.
that parents were spending too much time on a
yes.
phone?
Yes. I mean, I find myself, I have to say, once in a while that happens to me where like I look up and all of a sudden my kid's staring right at me. I'm like, oh.
your phone in your hand.
Did you need something? Yeah. Perhaps I should put down my phone for a couple minutes.
Wow. Yeah, but I'll stick up for you and say you are in news mode.
Sure.
24/7. You're always checking alerts, news alerts, emails.
Yeah.
Breaking news items. So,
look, kid, you want that roof over your head?
That's right.
I got to check my phone once in a while. And speaking of digital addiction, there's plenty we'll remember when we look back on 2019, including perhaps citing it as the year that employers finally got fed up with workers spending so much time in the bathroom staring at their phones. Earlier this week, we told you about the sign posted by one company that was going viral on Reddit, warning employees that if they spend too much time using the facilities, they could be subject to a smell check. Now, one startup in the UK is seeking to stop bathroom loitering from happening in the first place by designing a downward tilting seat meant to make you so uncomfortable that you have no choice but to take care of your business quicker. The founder of the company told Wired that the toilet is sloped about 13 degrees forward to increase strain on the legs, making it painful to sit on it for longer than 5 minutes. The company's in talks to distribute its product to train stations, bars, shopping malls, and of course, offices.
Wow. So sloping forward.
Yes.
Yeah, because if it's tilted backward, you could, in theory, just perhaps fall asleep.
Yeah,
just
I was
going
to say, I might take a nap, to be honest, if that was me. But yes, forward, yeah, you're sort of leaning forward,
yeah.
putting some strain on your legs and your knees, and you're going to want to get up.
It's a quad workout, essentially.
Yes. Yes, which of course, you know, it's kind of another challenge for the gym, right? Like
get
yourself strong enough in the legs
right.
that this kind of seat's not going to bother you so much.
Well, how about you do your squat workout
and
then have to go to the bathroom?
Right.
And you simply cannot hold yourself
oh,
up because on leg day, you're jelly. You're jelly on leg day.
Exactly.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next are Chili Peppers. Lifesavers.
Goodbye 2019. Goodbye Windows 7. Dell's holiday sales are the perfect time to say hello to 2020 and a Windows 10 upgrade. Save big on their latest business computers powered by Intel Core processors. Don't forget to shop servers, storage, and thousands of top brand electronics, all with free shipping. Call a small business technology advisor to help you find the right tech for your business needs at 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/business deals.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Wednesday. Do you like spicy foods? Well, consider this. Scientists in Italy say chili peppers cut the mortality rate from heart attack and cerebrovascular disease. That's a disease that restricts blood flow to the brain and includes strokes and aneurysms. The study found that people who consumed the spice at least 4 times a week reduced their risk of dying from a heart attack by 44% and from cerebrovascular disease by 61%. Yahoo Lifestyle says the observational study did not identify exactly why chili peppers were so beneficial. Chili peppers get their heat from the compound capsaicin, which has been shown, at least in hamsters, to reduce cholesterol and to block the expression of a gene that makes blood vessels tighten. But some research has flagged capsaicin for its ties to cancer. Separately, a heart expert tells Yahoo Lifestyle that people who eat peppers likely eat more fresh food in general, so the chili pepper findings could benefit from that trend. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, President Trump assailed the House impeachment probe and accused Democrats of trying to overturn his election as lawmakers prepare for a vote that's expected to make Trump the third president to be impeached. In a six-page letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Trump called efforts to remove him from office an abuse of power that amounted to an illegal partisan attempted coup. Pelosi called the letter really sick. Number two, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has rejected calls from Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer to allow witnesses at an expected Senate impeachment trial of President Trump.
Impeachment is a political decision. The House made a partisan political decision to impeach. I would anticipate we will have a largely partisan outcome in the Senate. I'm not impartial about this at all.
Schumer said he wanted to have four Trump officials testify.
They're trying to say the Senate, the House didn't make a strong case. They made a very strong case. That's why President Trump and Mitch McConnell are so afraid to have these witnesses testify. If it was a weak case, they wouldn't mind.
McConnell's rejection of Schumer's request does not mean the question of witnesses is settled. McConnell said the Senate should revisit the issue at some point in the middle of the trial. Number three, the chief judge of a secretive surveillance court says the FBI provided unsupported information when it applied to eavesdrop on a former Trump campaign advisor and directed the Bureau to report back by next month on what steps it was taking to fix the problem. And the order follows a harshly critical Justice Department Inspector General report that said the FBI had withheld key information when it submitted four applications in 2016 and 17 to monitor the communications of Carter Page. And if you're a science geek, you'll love this story. Thanks to a 5,700-year-old piece of chewing gum, the entire DNA of a human has been obtained and analyzed. Researchers from the University of Copenhagen say it's the first time an entire ancient human genome has been obtained from anything other than human bone. The woman's DNA was obtained from teeth marks she left in chewable tar from a birch tree. She likely had dark skin and blue eyes and hailed from a Danish island in the Baltic Sea.
Jeez, they even pinpointed that much? Some of that stuff I think they make up.
No.
She was an island girl.
This is amazing.
That is amazing. Chewable tar from a birch tree.
That's ancient chewing gum to you and me.
That's right. That's stuff I learned from watching shows like Naked and Afraid and Dual Survival.
Try it.
On Discovery. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Dads will be dads, even at the airport. A young woman shared photos on Twitter that show how her dad picks her up at the airport. Fortunately for her, it seems like she'll never have trouble picking him out of a crowd. Fox News says Courtney Payne uploaded several photos that show her dad waving elaborate signs for her at the Kansas City airport. In one photo, he's even got a costume on. One photo shows her father waving a sign that identifies Ms. Payne as Miss Oregon. In another photo, he dressed like an elf and held the sign that says Santa's Naughty List, Courtney Payne. One image simply shows her dad waving around a sign that says Kardashian. Ms. Payne captioned the photos, saying, "Every time my dad picks me up from the airport, he makes a sign." Twitter loved it. One user seemed to shame their own dad with a tweet that read, "Can you ask your dad if he will adopt me? Because my dad sucks." For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.